Hey everyone, welcome back to Highly Unlikely with Josh and Janae. Today, depending on when you're listening. It's going to be a fun episode, which this whole episode was the brains of someone else who we have here with us.
Yes.
Second time that you're on the podcast.
Mr. Yes, Jordan Pope. I'm more comfortable over here than in your seats.
In the driver's seat.
I know I was going to comment on your mustache, but I feel like I shouldn't because we've already been there. So I'm going to let it be.
You did already. So I mean, if you want to see weird Jordan's
if it
mustache.
Wasn't here.
Yeah. It'd be strange. It's a different
guy. Bare. But how did this episode come to be?
Well, Jordan and I are good friends and we have lunch once in a while. And at one point he said, you should let me interview you guys. And I was like, oh boy. And then, we were talking about content for like these next couple episodes. So we're like, what if we let Jordan interview us and we don't know what he's going to ask?
Yeah.
That'd be fun and scary.
I did say I could veto some, but I won't.
You did.
I'll submit to the process.
We're going with it.
All right. I saw you're expecting 7,000 people for Easter.
Yes.
And how many actually know the story of you guys? And so for myself, hearing you guys bring stories through the podcast, I thought it'd be fun for other people to be able to hear your story as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. That's so fun.
Okay, before we do it, we got to do the question from the bowl, from the dish, which is dropped on the floor.
If we have it memorized.
I know what it says. Do we do this one? It says, what is your favorite vacation spot?
Yes, but I don't think it was with you.
It was not. No.
I would love to hear yours.
Well, my wife, children, and I have developed kind of a family. I know you guys call it family trips. We go on family vacations.
You do.
Do you get vacation? Do you get rest with the girls?
Kind of. Yeah.
That's great.
We go places where there are not many people, like the mountains, and we rent a little cabin, and we hang out, and we don't have much of an agenda.
That's fun.
We have a blast.
What's your food plan?
Oh,
bring a bunch. Eat out maybe once.
So you guys still make your own food?
Easy stuff. I like to make food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't resonate.
Like to make food. I don't, especially on vacation, I don't enjoy it.
Jordan makes very good banana pancakes.
Oh, we'll say that. Yeah. You do like those.
Yeah. Something that.
Probably a once a week staple.
Yeah. So great. I mean, I feel like ours, we haven't gotten away in a long time, but.
Yeah.
I was today just researching places that we could go for our anniversary. 10 years. How long have you and Cass been married?
Going to be 12. Yes, we're finally going back to where we got married this year.
Which is that South
down
Dakota?
Down in Sylvan Lake, South Dakota.
Okay.
Yes.
I remember the pictures. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about there, so maybe we'll just come with.
Great.
Yeah.
Just join you guys.
We have a one-bedroom place rented. You're welcome.
Great. That'd be fun.
We did once go on a trip with one friend who is the third wheel. We walked in the hotel room. And it was one king bed.
Oh, yes.
In a place that was hard to obtain a new hotel.
Yes.
It was so funny. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'd say we like going to Arizona. It's kind of our go-to.
Yeah. It's convenient.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes. All right, Jordan.
All right.
Okay.
Let us have it.
You guys have asked more questions about me already.
Yeah. Now we're flipping the script.
My turn.
You're flipping the script today.
So I thought it'd be fun to go back. If we look back 10-ish years ago. Doug was the head pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had just gotten married and Doug resigned. There was a little bit of a change, as in a lot of change within the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think it felt like oftentimes there was another departure announced weekly. All of a sudden, Josh is preaching almost every weekend. And it wasn't a situation, I don't think, where you'd been groomed and it had been planned for. But all of a sudden, you were leading the church, and you were asked to take the position full time, just as you got married.
Uh-huh.
I was hoping you could talk through what that decision process looked like, and why did you say yes?
That was crazy time. Because I think about the team we have today and how we make decisions, and one of my core memories is having Vision Sunday. I think it was coming up. In a couple of weeks and being like, I have no idea what we're doing for Vision Sunday. And so Naomi and I, my assistant, we just pulled up the old blackboard, and we just started mapping out a service for Vision Sunday. And we were also the missions committee for a while. And It was like hobbling things together for 2 years of just trying to, and I remember God like speaking that into my heart at one point of just hold the church. Yeah. I just want you to hold the church and trying to hold it for whoever was going to come and lead it. So it was just chaotic because like Doug was a staple in my life. You know, he was like a spiritual father speaking into like every part of my life and our dating relationship. And Janae was just graduating college and we had just gotten engaged. And so we're planning a wedding, which if you've ever planned like a big event together, like a wedding, you know,
engagement was the worst.
Yeah,
man.
Engagement can like bring out the worst in you
because
it's stressful. So I remember there being like a lot of stress and a lot of question marks. And then when our youth pastor and kids pastor left and it was like, the church had been doing so well. And we were like, is this the end? Like, is this where the decline happens? You know? And then in the midst of that, they came to us and said, would you guys lead it? And we're like, will we lead the decline? We don't know. Like, is that what's happening right now?
I think we were 3 months married when the board approached and I was doing PT, just PRN at different like nursing homes. And I was at, is it like Sunrise or something in Mandan? Like nursing home. And that I remember vividly in the PT room and Josh called me and he's like, so-and-so met with me, maybe it was Dan. And he wants us to like pray and consider letting our name stand. And I just remember sitting down and I don't think I said a lot. I just was like, okay. Or maybe it was before. Yeah, before you were going to meet with them. And you're like, I think this might be what they ask. And I was like, I don't know. This is just all new. Or I didn't even understand like in a church. How do you like make those decisions or get a different pastor and people vote on you. And that's just weird. Like, it's just all weird.
Well, yeah, even like these pastors that you've been peers with, you're now going to lead them and you're going to hire more like them. And this board that just hired you, you're not going to lead that board. You've never been in a board meeting before. Like, so in that way, feeling like so not prepared.
Yeah. So but, then when they officially asked, again, can you just like ever picture where you were? Like I can vividly picture our room and you're like the dresser was behind you and you said like, we were talking about it and that they like officially were like wanted us to consider it. And yeah, I just sobbed and I think cried, this is marital suicide. Like we're never going to stay married if we do this. And
we're so newly married that we don't even know how to interact in that situation.
Yeah. So like you didn't have a mom that reacted that way in like, you know, tense moments. And so I think, yeah, the Lord's grace like carried us through, but we fasted and prayed for 4 to 6 weeks is what we asked for. And I think we got the answer after 4. We didn't fast all 4 weeks. Let's just say we fasted certain things, but it was a very vivid moment where the Lord spoke to both of us individually, but at like kind of the same time and space. That it wasn't like the Lord saying, you're actually going to submit to this and you're going to be the people. It was just the yes to submit to the process.
Mm-hmm.
Never felt a guarantee from the Lord. And we knew, though, saying yes to the process, if they voted no, you don't get to stay. Like, the honorable thing wouldn't be to stay, right? Like, how do you have someone else come in and lead the church when it's like, well, we were just, you know, voted no?
Yeah, so we weren't even saying yes to leading the church. We were saying yes to being voted on and potentially having to leave because if any other pastor came and we were the lead pastor rejects, like that's an awkward
situation. Yeah, it's awkward. So, but it was the Lord. The vote was nice and approved.
Yeah.
So, but I think that process, we like learned a lot about each other. And I just was nervous going into marriage because I've seen too many marriages fall apart, right? And so I just had a lot of like non-negotiables of like, we wouldn't do evening ministry for a year. We wouldn't lead this for a year. Give us a year. We need to figure out how to be married. So I'm really glad we did that.
Yeah.
Which after 1 year, we didn't fully understand how to be married, but you know, it helped.
I think I appreciate the fact that it wasn't something that you guys sought as I was like this big position that was your dream to be in this role of authority or power, but you were called. You waited to be called, not even seeking it out yourself.
Yeah.
And I think so many times we have that thing that's we're working towards, it becomes almost an idol of like, it becomes so about us. First, it was just like, no, I don't know if I want to do this. It's going to have to become really clear.
Yeah. Well, and statistically, if you follow a really great leader, you're usually there's a downturn. You know,
are you speaking church-wise or just all just leadership? Like in
any organization, in a church. Yeah. And I was following a great leader and great things have happened. And you're like, oh, am I the stepping stone guy now?
The church had gone to places it hadn't been before. Yes. So you wondered, could it go further? Right.
Yeah. And I think probably for 2 years, I was like, is the church actually healthy? Are we just still riding the Doug momentum, like imposter syndrome almost?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wondering if it's for real.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. It's a great question.
So that was 10 years ago. And Janae, you mentioned being a PT at that point in time. And I think since then to today, where you guys are co-lead pastors, and I know have been for a couple of years, there's been major change for yourself in regards to your role in the church, taking a prominent role, leading women's ministry to speaking. I know as of, 4 years ago, a female had not preached at Evangel ever. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
As far as we knew.
I mean, missionaries had spoken, but I don't think there had been a...
Like carried...
Outside of like the women's stuff that had happened before us, but we can't say that definitively, firmly, but we're pretty sure. Yeah.
From what we knew, right, under us and whatever you'd experienced before. Right, so,
So how about that journey for you from PT to co-lead pastor and how that has looked?
Yes. I feel like it's more been a journey of motherhood, right? Because that's like my first filter of calling, right? And decision-making. And so even taking over the church, like it was like, wow, this is a lot. And it was never, like we were both interviewed. We were both, you know, and that's just our denomination in general. Like you are one, and I do see where the spouse matters so much in ministry. They can make or break it.
Like, so back to when there was the choice of lead pastor, you were interviewed there as well. Is that
right?
Yeah,
like I remember, and I just think we're 25 and 28, and I meet people that age, and I'm like, oh Lord, what did we actually say? Like, it's probably embarrassing, and we'd cringe. But I remember, sitting in the old overflow room, and it was us on these high top chairs, and there was a box that people could submit questions. And it was like these people, all people, at least usually the age of our parents. And it was even like, are you going to get rid of hymns? Are you going to, like, all these questions. And you're like, how is this like the basis of us getting picked? But it was together, right? So there was just that togetherness from the beginning. But yeah, so for me, it just is always like, Lord, what are you calling me to do in this season? So I stayed home full time for like 2 years, 3 years, or only working PRN, like a 1 day a week thing. Never wanted to like, never desired to work at a church or desired to, pastor people, right? Even me coming on staff was very much like, there's a need. I'm super involved already. I could fill it. And then, and I would say even my job description and my role here is very much like utility knife. Very much, I know a little about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot about a couple of specific things, like women's ministry. Yes, like that's kind of my bread and butter. Which right when we got voted in, someone came up to me and said, are you going to take over the women's ministry? Because like now you're the leader. And I said, no, I don't want to. I don't even really like women that much. They're drama. I've stopped saying that. I don't really believe that. But it can be dramatic.
Yeah.
And so the Lord had to renew that. It's just been a step-by-step process, right? And so I just, even in the next 10 years, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I don't know if he'll call me back to be home with our kids full time. I don't know. So I just very much try to hold it with an open hand. Even the co-lead thing, it was Josh and the board, again, like approaching me, saying, is this something you'd consider? And I, again, had a lot of questions around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a privilege to be able to lead together. It works for us. So, yeah, I don't know if I answered what you were asking, but.
You did. I think some of those background things and things happen so slowly over time that often you don't realize there's a lot of change that has happened.
Yeah. I love being a support for the women on team because our staff team, it's a lot of people. Like, for some people, it would be a church for them.
Yeah.
And just to, because if we can help make them great, mature, whole, rounded leaders, like the church will be better and the church overall, the global church will be healthier, right? So, it's fun.
Yeah, random fact. There's like 40 licensed ministers in our church.
Are you serious?
I think. And they're most of them, well, a lot of them are not on staff.
That is super cool.
They're just people that are, you know, either retired or serving in ministry in a different. So, I mean, like we feel very called to pastor that staff team and those people, mm-hmm. you know, and then mm-hmm. they pastor. But
yeah.
Anyways, random thought.
So you both often just share some of your life experiences when you preach. And looking back, what are some of the most significant events or lessons learned that maybe prepared you for this role today that you never would have expected, have prepared?
It's a great question.
Oh, man. The first thing that comes to mind for me is, and there's a shadow and a beauty to each one of these things, but like specifically the like values from the farm of like, we work hard. Mm-hmm. At times we have to go from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. And there's just seasons where you really sprint, you know, like when it's planting season and you have that window, like you just burn the midnight oil and get it done. And I think especially early on, being able to kind of have that mindset and knowing like I'm not necessarily trying to earn anything or trying to prove anything. I just know what has to be done.
Yeah,
and the work it's going to take, you mm-hmm. know, like I think. Mm-hmm. So I would say that was a huge part of it. And I just like even to reflect back on the last question, like when I look at that year of transition, the two things that are really clear to me are one, like there were specific moments where God spoke very clearly to us mm-hmm. and we just knew it was the Lord.
Yeah.
And there was an anointing, like a touch from God that came on our lives mm-hmm. where it was like, oh, something has shifted now. In us, where there's like, and Doug called me and said, there's no going back at this point. Hmm. Like it's yeah. you or you got to go lead somewhere else. Hmm. Because there was a shift that happened in us. That was the right. Lord. It was not yeah. us.
Yep.
And so I think so that true. What the Lord was doing coupled with like, we know how to get results. We know how to work to get things healthy. You know, we know how to build culture. I think that lesson for me, especially mm-hmm. early on, really mattered.
Yeah. I do think it's a really beautiful thing for the church overall and the board to take a chance on a couple in their 20s. Because if we were still leading the same way we were 10 years ago, this would not be as healthy of a church, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, you just saying that made me think like, wow, I'm just so grateful for a church mm-hmm. that took a chance
yeah.
on people who did not know how to make a healthy culture and did not know how to make things clear for thousands of people, right? Or even 10 people. but can you read your question again so I know exactly? Yeah,
some of the life experiences you had
yeah.
that maybe prepared you for this role
yeah.
today that maybe you wouldn't have expected would prepare you mm-hmm. for a situation like this.
Yeah. For me personally, I guess maybe it's not for the role in particular, but the context of the role of the fact that we have, how old are we now? 34 and how old 38. Are you? 38 years of being born and raised in this state. Mm-hmm. There is, I think some authority, even in our position, just comes from a relational equity. And like you said, stories from North Dakota, like there's a fondness and you understand the culture. Because there is a weird, not weird, interesting North Dakota culture. That maybe, and an appreciation for the state and the region and all that stuff. I think, yeah, my PT school was like, the Lord probably prepared me in different things. For me, I think my testimony, what the Lord brought me through and my rebellion season and mistakes and his redemptive nature, like I think when people have come and dropped a bomb of their testimony or confession, I mean, I'm not shook by anything, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. And when you have come from every one of us has been redeemed. Yes. I think there might be some deeper pits that God has pulled us out of, right? So for how deep my pit was, like to be able to speak hope into people of like, hey, and God's provided very specific divine opportunities where I get to share my story in a very, very vulnerable way to bring hope to a situation or to like, mm-hmm. yeah, speak life over it. So I think, Yeah, those things that it's so true, like what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord has completely redeemed for good, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things I appreciate about you guys in your, as you preach, as you lead with others, is you're very human mm-hmm. versus presenting kind of a superhuman yeah. image mm-hmm. of you've got it all together. Mm-hmm. And I think people are able to relate mm-hmm. better. How do you try to find that balance between being open, honest, vulnerable, while also challenging others?
Mm-hmm. It's a tension to manage, for sure.
Yeah. I think we try to be transparent and to be honest without, I think one of maybe the principles is we don't preach where we're bleeding, but we preach where we've been broken yeah. and have healed.
From not your open wounds, but your maybe scars that have been yeah. healed, right? Like,
and I think guarding that tension, because people get up there and they share or they speak out of their brokenness. Mm-hmm. And there's a beauty in certain settings to doing that. But when you're leading people, you know, being careful to speak out of, you know, where maybe you have scars. And so there's a transparency there. I think also we're learning like mm-hmm. where we should be vulnerable and it helps and where we shouldn't be because yeah. it hinders people or,
yeah.
you know, it's not good for our family or for our kids and yeah. to protect that.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a constant like, yeah, how far, because mm-hmm. our families of origin too and what we experienced in church growing up has also been very formative to leading a revival in North Dakota because we know yep. what we're dealing with.
Yep.
And we know what will work and what will not work.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, I by just nature of a person am more open book, you know. I would say a lot of that though, for us, I don't know if it's always true, but ties back to integrity in regards to it's really easy to be honest when you're not hiding anything. Like it's really yeah. easy when it's not like, oh gosh, I got to really curate my words because, and there have been moments where like we try not to teach out of anything we wouldn't be doing ourselves, right? Or yeah. try to pull a, like any, if you're delivering a message or something the Lord's taught you, it's usually because he's walked you through it, right? But I have had those moments where I have been too honest and trusted people too much and then you end up getting maybe hurt by it. Not all the time. And when that happens, then it's just like, yeah, you got to go to the Lord and be sure he's dealing with any bitterness because you can get cynical really fast. We've found, I don't, maybe it's not true for everyone, but we can get cynical really fast or you can kind of have like a raised eyebrow about a lot of people. And then you have to realize, oh, no, I just actually need to grow in my discernment. And I feel like the Lord is, we've grown in that of like, yeah. Lord, help me discern in this moment what's okay to share or be open about. But I do think now we more have our people that like mm-hmm. their character we have seen over, you know, I think of how long we've known you guys, right? Mm-hmm. And your character has held true. You're not gossips. You're not. And so like those are our people, right? Your character has been tested and it's been proven that we can be open with mm-hmm. in a vulnerable way, not just a transparent way.
Yeah, and somebody defined that for me one time, which really helped me, is transparency is, you know, being honest. But the mm-hmm. difference between that and vulnerability is when you are vulnerable, you're giving people information they can leverage.
Yeah.
So like I'm vulnerable with Janae yeah. because she has authority to leverage my vulnerabilities, you know, if mm-hmm. she needs to. And that's reserved for a close circle of trusted people. Mm-hmm. When you're leading masses of people or people who aren't at the same spiritual place as you, transparency is good, but you have to be careful with vulnerability. And mm-hmm. I think kind of seeing the difference yeah. has helped us know what to say and what not to say.
Would you say we've had to navigate that more with the staff team? Like we maybe have gone, oh man, we were too vulnerable with the staff team
yeah,
on that.
Yeah. Or the way we interacted with each other was too vulnerable.
Yes.
And we need to clean that up a little bit, you know.
Yeah. There's been a couple of times we've hashed something out in a meeting and you realize people have like a deer in a headlight look and it's like, we're good. Like we're figuring it out.
But we were joking, like when we're in our LPO, our lead pastor office meeting with us and our assistants and
events manager, an intern,
like people that we have a lot of trust in relational equity, we'll hash things out. Like there's a little bit more vulnerability, but it's a controlled environment where we can clean up. We don't do that in front of the whole staff team even. So there's like those layers.
And hashing things out is like, hey babe, can you stop messaging that person? We're trying to talk about this. Yeah.
That happened this week, okay?
That might have. It may have.
So talked about, and it's crazy thinking about that being 28 and 25 when you guys started. Mm-hmm. And I think probably what people have seen has maybe been different than always what has been felt by you guys, mm-hmm. where I think you can present confidence, being very mm-hmm. comfortable in your roles, while also, I'm sure, dealing with many insecurities, mm-hmm. dealing with things behind the scenes, and just a lot of required growth on your parts. Mm-hmm. Josh, you talked about being uncomfortable, embracing being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How have you guys just kind of worked through those things over the years of embracing being uncomfortable and growth, sometimes mistakes, as yeah. you're doing things you've never done before, while also presenting confidence on the outside?
Mm. I'm sure there's generals back in the day who led their army into battle that were actually afraid. Mm-hmm. But what you, and it's still being real, but, right. and that's the part about like transparency, but not vulnerability. Like it doesn't bless anybody. If you're doing what you know you're supposed to be doing and you're stepping into it with boldness and you're too honest about your insecurities and your mm-hmm. fears, like we're all, so I think there is a part of like, you have to have your circle that you can go to and be like, I don't know if I'm making the right step. I'm struggling mm-hmm. with this. I'm, you know, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But then when you're leading people, knowing like my mandate first and foremost is not to how I feel
yeah.
or to what I want to do, is to be the leader and to mm-hmm. give people confidence and to step in with them. And so even projecting, and I'm trying to walk a line here of like being authentic, but also,
yeah,
it's, there's a space for letting your vulnerabilities be shown. And there's a space for, here's what we're going to do. God is going to provide. We're going to make a way. He's going to make a way. And we're going there together. And mm-hmm. I think that's the role of a leader, is to swallow mm-hmm. that sometimes and be like, we are trusting the Lord. And even yeah. as I speak it in faith, I'm hearing it and encouraging myself.
Right.
So I don't know if that totally answers the question, but I think sometimes I just look and I'm like, whether I feel like preaching today with authority or not, whether I feel like Janae and I are good today or not, this is what I've been called to do.
Yeah.
And I have to do it, whether I feel like it, whether I feel like confident in it, whether I feel worthy of it. God yeah. has put me here. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and is on to the Lord. And hopefully my feelings and everything else will follow.
Right. And I think that's what I was going to say. You said it in a different way, but really our confidence, like, which in seasons, you know, you ebb and flow, and not that you ebb and flow in where your confidence comes from, but like your boldness in it, but like it's from the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, like, I know early on it was kind of like one of the first moments of me, like, to be on stage. It's so funny though, because us as people, were you at our wedding? Were we even friends when we got married? That's
no.
so sad.
No.
Didn't make the list.
I don't know if we were friends. Were we friends? I don't know.
I don't know if we had met.
Yeah, no, we nixed you in this yeah, first round.
Clearly.
But even at our wedding, like a portion of our wedding was to stop. We took a mic each and we turned to the crowd and we presented the gospel, right? So like, I think if some people would be like mortified to think of turning in public speaking mm-hmm. like that to like, because I think there was like 400 people. Mm-hmm. So I think just God's grace upon how he just knit who we are, like, but the confidence in that for me has just never been like, yeah, I can do this. No, I yeah. did actually horribly in public speaking. Like I didn't do well. And so, but in one of my first platform moments was like, just seeking the Lord for it. And I just always am like, Lord, just anoint anything coming out of my mouth. And then there's a psalm that says, be the gatekeeper of my mouth. And I just trust the Holy Spirit to shut me up when I need to shut mm-hmm. up. And, but the Lord spoke to me so clearly. And he said, you have nothing to prove and you have nothing to lose. And I still tell myself that every single time, anytime. If I lead all staff, if I I'm having a meeting with someone that maybe is a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if it's like Josh being like, do I preach Mother's Day? And it's like, okay. Because in the rooted in that is like, I have nothing to prove to anyone. God's my judge. Mm-hmm. No, it's I have nothing to prove because Jesus, you've proven it all. And I have nothing to lose because I'm not hiding anything. And I'm very secure in Christ. And so that for me is the basis. But I think the Lord's had to teach us to not walk as one where Jesus would say, oh, you have little faith. That's been a challenge. Like, I'm sorry, but I look at our current building and I say, ah, crap. We kind of had too little of faith. If I'm being really honest, I think there was a little bit of fear of like, gosh, we don't want to build this huge thing and then no one's there. And what if it declined? Like, that so wasn't the Lord. I think we covered it with the word wisdom. I don't know if you agree. You might disagree with that.
Well, we kind of disagree on that, but I think that's fair perspective.
Yeah, because I remember someone threw out the number 2,000 seats. And there was like a, And so I look back and I think, gosh, what if I had more faith in that moment, right? I'll never forget when we talked about the event center. I think Naomi was in the room. I think you were in the room. It was me, you, and Josh. And you were vacillating. He was just like, I don't know. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. And I just had, and I think, I don't know if it was a moment of the spiritual gift of having a gift of faith, where like in the moment the Spirit provides, like you are full of faith. But I just like very boldly was like, now is the time. Like, and it was like, I don't even remember what I said, but it was this shift of a moment of like, we're doing this. Like the Lord is aligning this and we're doing it. So yeah, not everyone sees those moments, but yeah.
I think that really defines our roles too, because there's moments like that where Janae and I both understand, like at the end of the day, I have to make that decision, you know? And, but usually we're making it together, but she knows when to like activate faith and push, and also when it's like when to pull back, you know? So I think that's the beauty of being able to challenge each other in the role too.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is refreshing too, because I think a lot of people might look at yourselves or other people and say they just have this gift that was given to them. They're able to utilize that gift. That's great. But I think what you're saying is that, hey, you've had to choose to do it while being afraid, having to step out in faith when you didn't know the result. You didn't know what it was going to look like from the church to preaching, et cetera. And I think that sometimes can hold so many of us back because we look at other people like they got it figured out. It was given to them versus, no, you just got to step out in your uncomfortable situation, trust, and do it.
It's a value that we actually have for our staff to be comfortable being uncomfortable. But that's a faith walk. Like, to me, that's a true faith walk.
Yeah.
It's like he's not going to be like, here's the safest path.
No,
you're never going to have to sacrifice.
There's so much wrestling. Like even now, the decisions that we're just churning over. And then I always think, like for me, one of the encouraging verses is when Jacob is about to die and his sons come to him and he's literally on his deathbed. He probably hasn't sat up for days or weeks, barely talking. And it says he rallies his strength and he reaches out and blesses his sons. And that is leadership. Like this decision or this thing has exhausted me. Like I've poured everything I have into it, but now is the time to like rise up and do what you have been commissioned to do. And only you can do, like God has put you there. So that's really the true journey of leadership for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably true if you're a Christian leader in any sphere, but it like, you have to hear from the Lord. Like you, I was just talking to a staff member today about just hard conversations that we've had. And she talked about before all of those, it was like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. You have to. And he would lead her to a verse every time, you know? And so it's like, as a believer in any form of leadership, you have an unfair advantage, right?
Yeah.
Because you have the Holy Spirit. So I'm so dependent on him. So, yeah.
So you're leading a lot of people, a team. How big is the team here?
Is it 60-ish?
It's probably about 60.
60.
Not including Joy House.
The congregation as well. You don't have anybody necessarily leading you here. How do you guys learn and grow outside of having someone here at Evangel to lead you?
Such a great question.
Yeah. I sometimes, that's going to sound like a victim, but I'm like, it's hard for us to find people to lead us. in some ways.
That's been a thing we've had to grieve. Mm-hmm. Because there's a tension where you would love for someone that has walked in the shoes where you're in, you're a size 6 shoe and you put on a size 10, you're like, holy crap, I can't fill this role, right?
Yeah.
Or these shoes are too big for me to fill. And you just hope and pray that someone like has a dream of you and they're like, God has called me to like be your accountability and be your cheerleader. That hasn't happened for us, you know? So it's not just been one person, but we have had to seek out. But the Lord is very, very faithful and has been in every season because we got voted on in a in December. And for some reason, well, it's the Lord, but for some reason, we had chosen to go to this conference that was he had been invited to of specifically pastors of churches with people more than 1,000 people, which is a very specific, you have different problems, like big problems, different problems in those contexts. And it did happen where there were two couples where they very much felt like the Lord illuminated us to them. And for the first 4 years, they were just, I mean, still, we're the dear, dear friends, you know, we're not on the phone all the time with them, but they came along. It's almost like they came to, on each side of us and just kind of propped us up, encouraged us, helped us, and just had people there for us. So I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. And I think, I think there's that. I think in another season, like Janae and I both traveled to a men's conference and a women's conference at the same church for the last 5 years. To put ourselves in proximity to people that we want speaking into our lives. Like they weren't going to come to us necessarily. They have actually. But putting ourselves in proximity to them. There was another time where a pastor randomly, I was at a conference and he pulled me into his office with some other pastors and was like, I have this idea, I have this thing I want to do like with spiritual fathers and I want you to be a part of it. And that has turned into like a, almost 6-7 years of journey of him being a part of our lives. And
I mean, they're on the podcast, Scott and Jenny Wilson. They're very much like spiritual father and mother to us.
So I would say now, like even, you know, we went through a few things like in January where I was like, man, I want to make sure that I'm leading this well. And I want to make sure that I'm in a good side. So I have three overseers of our church that I just and I read the email to our board to make sure they knew what I was thinking.
All but one. We need to have Winston on the podcast. Yeah. He has a great mustache like you.
Yes.
Some people call him Winstash.
Better. Yes.
The Winstash. But yeah, our superintendent.
We've recruited those people into our lives, really.
Yes. Yeah. You know? But like Paul Herkman and Paul Alexander. But we do have authority over us. I mean, that is superintendent Winston Titus. And like there is structure and thank goodness for that. And thank goodness, you know. For the forms of accountability, right?
Which I'm like, so when people are like, man, I can't find anybody to mentor me and pour in, I'm like, I just don't know if you're willing to be led because if you go get the people, like there are people that are capable and willing to step in.
Right. And have, yeah, are there people?
There's also been people in my life that I'm like, I want this person to mentor me. And literally one of them was like preaching at a conference and said, everybody thinks they need a mentor. You just need led by the Holy Spirit. And I was like, well, I'm not going to ask him. You know, like, I guess
I was just going to say, though, but sometimes you set this like it only could be this person. And sure enough, we could have done that thing, that too. And it's like more unrealistic, right? So who's God put in your path? And he's been faithful to put people in our path. And so, yeah, I think there's like different people. There's kind of the accountability people. There's, we talk about Henry and Alex Seeley, which we just very much look up to them. We're not in like rubbing shoulders all the time. And then there's just the people that are more like encouragers.
Which there's people that you can follow that maybe don't even know your name, but you put yourself in the room and follow the stuff that.
But we make sure about. That we have a couple churches where it's like, no, we follow them in regards to like teaching, like YouTube is where that's where we have church, you know, and in regards to like sitting, gleaning, receiving, just like people do every week here, right? Like you can't not do that and then try lead that. So. I don't know if that answered your question. I keep saying that after every time.
It does. You actually answered my second question to it.
Really?
As well. Wow. Because I think one of the things that is a struggle for some people is we've seen some very high profile, extremely unfortunate situations of leaders rising up in churches.
Yep.
And suddenly they are past the point of allowing anybody to speak into their lives, to have influence, to have accountability, to have any of those things, to where an entire ministry gets derailed. because they don't have that influence in their life or any form of accountability or structure or anything like that. And I think it's valuable to people to see and understand, like, you guys are having to seek these things out because you don't have to. I don't think there's anybody forcing you to do so.
Yeah.
But wanting to have that, I think, is also like good for the health of everybody you're serving as well.
I want to say the thing I think I've seen in ministry and friends in ministry, some who have been very closely tied to some of those sad things that we've seen happen in the church, is I think some of them did have accountability around them, but accountability is not accountability unless they're willing to call your crap and confront you.
Yeah.
And so those, that's what we consider, like, are these actually people who would come and be like, this is, because if the overseers are ever have to be activated, that's going to be the most painful thing, right? And you have to be willing. So Josh even approached a friend about being an overseer, and he said, no, because I want you to be my friend. And I don't want to have to execute that authority if I needed to. And it was like, wow, that's very mature of you, right? And I just think of one of those situations, knowing someone who's very closely tied to, like, something that had hit the headlines, you know, of church this and that. And
it's funny now because we're not just talking about people out there who have fallen or been accused of stuff. Some of these people are in our peer group.
Are dear friends, you know, and was closely tied to one. And they said, oh, you knew, like, that person actually treated us like crap every time. And it was just tolerated. And and it was like, oh gosh, you know, so no one was willing to be brave enough. And so I just pray that people have more boldness and bravery and just allow, discernment.
I think, and maybe I don't talk to our church about this enough, because I have friends right now that have their churches set up in a way where I'm like, bro, you're vulnerable. Like, and I know you like the control that you have, but you're vulnerable with how you're doing this. And so, like, I go to our board every time we have a board meeting, and I bring our senior associate pastor in. And when the board says, how's the staff doing? What's the temperature of the church? I don't start talking. I'm like, he's going to speak to it, because I can paint a picture. You know, or have less board meetings and not bring that stuff up, you know, or our overseers, I'm going to self-reveal. And I think there is also, that's a part of it, is you have to be willing to send the text, you know, when you know you're not feeling right or you did something that wasn't right. And
so,
we try to be proactive about that sort of stuff. Janae, I've said this often, but so many times in our marriage, she says, who's pouring into you, or who's pouring into you in that area? And one of the great exercises we were led through was building a growth team. Like, who's speaking into our parenting? Who's speaking into our finances? Who's speaking into our spirit?
We literally each have a chart with circles.
With all the key areas of our lives, emotional, physical, all this stuff. And some of the people on that paper are friends, or like people that know us face to face. Some people have never met us, but we're following
like
them.
Like, a financial mentor is Dave Ramsey. He doesn't know who we are. It's fine, but he's mentored us.
We did meet him once.
That's true. He took a photo with us.
We took a photo with him.
That's true. Jordan, have you heard the story of him?
Of him or with him?
With him. Yeah. We did stand where Josh tried to use a credit card at Dave Ramsey Solutions. Gosh. Have you heard this?
No. No. That's pretty
we'll tell
good,
it to
though.
You after.
But we should move on. He probably has more questions.
That's core memory in our marriage, man. Core memory.
All right. Well, we will run out of time before we run out of questions. But
wow.
How about this? What are ways people...
You can go like 10 more, 12 more if you want.
Okay.
We have time.
We still run out. But
that's okay. We can answer faster.
Pick your
favorites. What are ways people within the church can best support you and encourage you as pastors, people?
Yeah. You know what I'm going to say first? Don't put unrealistic expectations on our children. Because they're a pastor's kid. Please don't call them a pastor's kid. Please do not say, are you going to be a preacher like daddy? Because we have spoken into them. I love how you're nodding. Your dad is a pastor for many years. Yes. Sorry, someone sitting in the room. That is a way that you could love our family in ways that is priceless to us, right? Because they're not a pastor's kid. They're a kid.
They're
just like any other kid. Yep. And sorry, that's my first gut reaction, right? Because I think that'll always be our nature, is like our family first, and we want our kids to love Jesus, not just love the church, but love Jesus. And so Yeah, our kids might run in the hallway, but this is like a second home to them. Mm-hmm. They're here all the time, and mm-hmm. I'm glad they're comfortable here.
Yep.
Our staff team knows, though, they don't get away with crap. Yep. Like, you hold them to whatever line that you would with anyone else. So that's my first gut thing, but and pray for us. Like, that'd be the biggest blessing, right?
Yeah, I'm like, practically speaking, when people come up and they're like, hey, we pray for you every day, or we pray for you every week, that, because I think more than ever, Janae and I are realizing like how much we need and our staff needs covered in prayer.
Due to the spiritual attack. It's just very real.
We're taking ground and the enemy resists that.
Yeah.
I think the other one is like, I mean, like during Pastor Appreciation Month, a bunch of people write cards and like notes of encouragement. And I do like appreciate words.
Josh has an encouragement folder. Mm-hmm. If he's having a down day, he opens that and it is like story after story about what God has done in people's lives and like just nice little dopamine
so
hit.
I cannot guarantee that I will send you a thank you because I'm really bad at keeping track and sending thank yous.
We do our best. But I just found two thank yous in my bag the other day like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I need to send them.
But I do keep your cards and I read them. And so just practically for me, that's a huge one. And then I think participating in like the vision of the church, like when we do a midweek prayer night and people show up and are praying, like, you know, or...
Well, I think in...
Or like the number of guys that have jumped on board with the arena and said, I want to be a part of that. Like, I want to help. Like, that is such an encouragement when you feel like you're not just trying to plow this thing alone.
And I think the encouragement comes from you're doing the biblical thing, right?
Yeah, you're following Jesus.
The most rewarding thing is not, oh, people are like good with leadership. It's like, no, you're good with the Lord and you're activated in the body like he's called you to. That's the thing that would bring us the most joy, right? Yeah. I think a way that you could, I don't know how you worded it. How you worded it, Jordan? Is it blessed
support
you?
As support? Well as encourage.
Okay. What would encourage me is if people didn't fixate on who the pastor is or who the leader is and put them on a pedestal or like get so excited about the leader, because the church shouldn't be known for who's pastoring the church and who the leader is. It should be known for your love for Jesus. Like, please don't put us on a pedestal that God never wanted a human other than the person of Jesus to be on. That would bless me. Mm-hmm. That would encourage me. And for people to be mindful of that. I think there's honor and respect. I think that's so healthy. But idolatry, I think a part of that, even what you spoke to earlier, part of that has been idolizing people. And you watch the gift operate. But that's the anointing and gift of God. We're still just a cracked jar of clay, you know? So, yeah.
One of my favorite quotes, if you don't worship God, you'll worship the next best thing, which is humans made in his image.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep. That's a good question.
Last question. Speaking of perfection, the two of you as a married couple leading the church, Josh, I don't think has ever mentioned a struggle in your marriage while we've chatted over the last 10 years.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
Maybe I'm kidding.
There was a hint of sarcasm in that.
But I think the two of you lead together well. You have unique skill sets and strengths, as well as like you have an open, honest relationship. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about having the element of leading the church together? You touched on this a little bit, even like, you know, openly, you're going to openly disagree in scenarios.
Yeah.
As well as you go home, you're no longer pastors at home. I think, you know, early on, maybe it's each of you are probably used to informing people what they maybe should be doing today, et cetera. And then you go home and that's not the case. How has that played out? How have you guys grown through that as well?
I have a core memory of...
Traumatic or core?
Well, a little bit. Not traumatic, but I mean, one of the things that keeps me honest is that Janae has a very low tolerance for me preaching things I'm not applying.
I have a low BS monitor. Yep.
Yeah. She's like, she's not going to allow us to be hypocrites. And I remember preaching.
BC, bull crap. I'll say that.
Yeah. I went and was speaking at a different church out of state. And I came off the platform and later, like, she was just kind of wounded because she's like, you preach something you're not doing, you know? And so I think man, I can't even remember the question, but I think that was like, for me, that was a formative moment where everything's not always perfect. Like, somebody was praying for us yesterday and they were like, I don't know if you guys fight or whatever. And I'm like,
we both are like, yes, nodding our head. Yes, we do.
But yeah, we're strong personalities. We are a little perfectionistic in our expectations. And so when stuff isn't how we want it, like we go after it and we go after each other about it. And, mm-hmm. and it's hard. And I get very absorbed in my work here. And I can be very emotionally connected to what's happening here. And I need reminded to be emotionally connected at home. Like, we have those very real, but we talk about it and it comes to the surface. And I hate that about Janae, but I'm actually so grateful for it because she will not let it go unspoken.
Okay. But I would say how we've grown though, would you say I have learned how to not make everything what'd you say? Unspoken?
Well, yeah, you
go unspoken. I used to think everything had to be done.
And we've learned how to bring it up in the right time and in the right way. Yeah. Or even when we're not 100% where we want to be, knowing, hey, we're still okay. Like, you know, but I think that's been a learning thing for us in our marriage. But I would say we're pretty honest about that. Right.
Yeah. I would say the one thing we maybe haven't talked about a ton, but I'd be interested to hear what you would say about it. But there came a point where I said, Josh, I feel like you may have a lot of people around you that are just solely supportive. And so I think I'm the main one that is resisting in any form or saying no or saying, hey, you got to do this or you got to step up here. And I think you're getting more upset than you need to because you're not used to it. And I don't think Josh is surrounded by yes people, but I even think like talking about, I don't know how big the church is and stuff. We really can't go anywhere without someone recognizing him. And that's fine. It's kind of a part of the territory. But usually it is, you're just so amazing. And that's great. And that's fine. And he is. But if there's a lot of that, and then I might be the only one not always saying, you're so amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, there's a couple trolls on Facebook that say some nice, cruel things about you, but.
Thank God for them.
None of them you?
Yeah, it's not her.
Not a fake profile with me behind it. Just got to keep him humble. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. But I think I'm pretty sure
there's a pastor who did that. He had like a fake profile and just go blast people.
But then he was outed for it, right?
He was found out.
My goodness. Okay. But I would say that would be like a bigger thing marriage-wise that we have to navigate of like, is this your natural response in marriage or is this because you're just used to hearing better feedback than this? Well, I don't know what you would want to add if you think that's valid or not.
Oh, I think that's valid. I think we've talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
I think just practically you're a verbal processor and you put stuff on the table. And I think about stuff a lot and I was raised with a lot of avoidance, you know? And so we've just had to like try to.
Yeah.
And you guys all know like there's seasons of your life where you're like, I'm in it. I'm going to overcome. Like I want to grow. And then you have other seasons where you're like, this is who I'm always going to be.
You're like, I want to dig a hole and just sit in it and be like, whatever.
And I remember going through, like, I think we went through, I don't know if it was a couple falls ago where it was like one of the hardest seasons we had walked through. And we didn't even really, it was hard for us to even identify why. And we both knew like, hey, things aren't great. And I need to change. And I remember being in the car driving to church one day and I was like, Lord, you have to change me. Like, I'm hearing what she's saying and I have frustrations with who I am. You have to change me because I don't even know all that to say. Like, it's very real.
And I refer to seasons like that. I know what fall he's talking about. And it was like, will this ever end? Is this our new reality? And I refer to that season as leading with a limp because you don't get to just stop leading.
Mm-hmm.
You're not evidently walking with a limp, but you know that you're limping. You know that you're not full stride. And so that was a really hard season for me to be like, nope, we still get up and we're gonna, I think even in the midst of it, we did maybe a series together or something in church or something or like a platform moment together, or we're still gonna lead all staff, you know, and I'm gonna be respectful, even though I'm ticked. Setting aside your emotion in those moments too. There was one meeting we were in, which this is just me, but when I'm passionate, my eyebrows go up, my nostrils flare a little bit, and my shoulders go up. And I was making a point in this meeting and Josh, in front of others, goes, you got to fix your tone, lower your eyebrows, and lower your shoulders. And I was like, and I didn't take offense to it, but I was like, okay, no, you're right. And moved on. But that's just kind of how we work, you know?
Yeah. I think that's actually an asset, because Henry Nouwen wrote a book called Wounded Healers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think we more than ever in the last couple of years have been like, there's been times where we've been wounded or we've been walking in our own wounding and just realizing like, oh, God's call still goes on. And like, and that can
and sometimes that's from others. Like you think about the attack from external, and sometimes that's from each other, right? Yeah. Like you can wound each other and yeah, just walking in forgiveness. And
yeah, but that doesn't mean you're broken forever or that you're not useful anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
and I straight up lead very different than Josh. The church would not be doing as great if I was the only leader.
The church would be different.
It would be different. It would. That's so true. Because
there's a directness and that even the team that you lead with Evangel Women, people love from you. When you speak, like, I love how straightforward Janae is. I love, like, just her clarity that she speaks
with. People will come and be like, I know I came to you because you're going to tell me if I'm being the worst person
ever.
Like,
they don't wonder where they are with you.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And I think that's a gift.
We might lead some meetings together and I might walk away thinking I'd have done that totally differently.
Yep.
But that's not helpful, right? Mm-hmm. So first 5 years of marriage, I'd have told them. Because they'd be like, I know what's best. So I think we've both had to grow in that, right?
Yeah. Well, and like to bring the conversation to a close where we started, that first year of marriage, taking over the church, trying to figure out how to be married, then finding out we're pregnant, like there was a lot of real conversation.
Right. I still like you.
And figuring life out, yeah.
I'm glad I still like you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the authentic conversation.
Yeah.
Thanks for curating it with your questions.
Yeah. Bet.
This is fun. Are we done with questions?
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, yeah. 56 minutes. Sorry. The clock is determining us, not your questions.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Yes, it was.
This makes me want to hang out with you and your wife more.
I know. Thanks for being our friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a fun fact, is in that first year, we prayed for a whole year because we felt like all our friendships had shifted because it was like you're leading them and it's just weird. And we prayed for a year for friends because we're like, things have shifted. And the Lord pointed out 5 couples, and still to this day, those are just like... Yeah. And we started a connect group and none of us, I think, had kids, maybe one. And now if we got together... We'd have a lot of kids together. Mm-hmm. So just a sweet season to think close back to that. Yeah. What?
Close to 20, kids. I think.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And just such, so thankful for core friends like that, and the Lord led it, and just thankful for you guys.
Well, likewise. Thank you.
Go ahead, Janae.
All right. Well, all the things we normally say at the end of the podcast, you know, share it, subscribe, rate.
We love you.
You know what I'm going to say. We love you. And we'll see you next time.